Welcome, everybody, to a pilot of sorts for the Game Vault podcast here. If you might not have heard, if you're just tuning into streams or, you know, you don't really listen to the podcast, Jen and Tom are off raising their new children that just got born. What I'm going to do is sort of an experiment of sorts here. So Friday nights when we record the podcast, I'm going to do a little segment like this. I know it says News Hour up there. Maybe I'm a little ambitious, but I love interaction with the chat here. Just noticed first episode, it's going to be a little, you know, weird as I sort of get my feet wet and kind of come up with ideas as we go along here on how to sort of present all of this, you know, around me here. So hello, Night Duck. How you doing? So without further ado, what I think I'll start doing, like we do with all the podcasts beginning, guess talk about what I've been playing first off, and in this case also involved in what I've watched. So first off, what I've been playing, I've been cleaning up some stuff in the end of Fallout, spoilers for later, but I've been cleaning up Final Fantasy VII Rebirth stuff, trying to get some of the armor while still playing on like normal and easy and stuff like that. I've never even tried easy yet, but I don't know if you can still get the rewards doing it that way. Because I do want to at least attempt to see how far I can get in hard mode. So, doing that. I may stream that for you. Not 100% sure. It is my backup, because my second stream, which I could not stream last night, I apologize for that. Is I'm going to do a little casual playthrough of Cyberpunk 2077. Sort of make my character that I'm doing in a tabletop game done by one Night Duck here is a game master for that one. So like casually just playing through that as that character there. But when I went to load up Cyberpunk 2077 last night, apparently, since I haven't played it in a long time, it needed a big update, so it didn't end. I literally had to go to bed last night because it did not finish in time, so I was unable to do that. So that'll be next week or Sunday, depending on how things go this week. That's rough. Yeah, it was like a 20-30 gig update or something, I don't know. Probably missed one of the whatever point zeros or point fives or whatever. Also, camera thing, going to be trying to find my position here so that I'm not too in and out of focus. The green screen stuff, I'm still figuring out, so don't mind the blurriness here on camera. But I've been going through that. Rebirth, I still love it. I love the combat in it. I'm finding out new things every time through. Basically, between me experimenting watching streams of people playing, doing different setups, different materia setups, and things like that. So that's been fun to go through. Loaded up Fallout 4 in anticipation of the new update coming. That'll be our first new story tonight. But hey, Game Ball Cat. Found my my town still intact, my Iron Man of body armor still there. Maybe I'll end the stream just for those of you on Twitch here, just showing that off. Just went around there. Didn't do much in terms of anything. I'll probably just try and figure out how to build up the town if I do anything in that game for the update and any of the free stuff they are bringing to it. But looks pretty good with a little bit of up-resing that you already get with the Xbox Series X. Yeah, just waiting to see what the full update would be in terms of graphics there. And also a reason why I'm excited to get into Cyberpunk, because I haven't played 2.0 yet. So I know they changed a whole bunch of stuff when I played the base game. So it'll be nice to get in there and just start a character from scratch and just learn the systems as we go. So like I said, if that runs well and I get that to do good, that'll be the game. If not, I'm just going to play through, just going to mainline the story mode and Rebirth on hard mode. Try and see if I can get through that. Yeah, not much else here. You know, just playing my sports games, you know, between, some NCAA March Madness. Again, you have to save that after every single game and hope and pray that it does not soft lock. In the middle, it's the known fact for the last college basketball game that does happen. And yeah, it was it's been interesting. I'm slowly realizing that May is coming, and so we'll be getting some news on the NCAA football game, which for me is an exciting thing. I also know there's I haven't looked at the coming soon stuff, but I know I think Thousand Year Door is coming soon, and there's probably some stuff that'll be showing up in the summer around June like that. Haven't picked up Princess Peach yet, but I heard that's more baby game for babies. And speaking of, that's another game I've been playing. Before we get to the news, just real fast, updating you on the streams. On Monday, I play through, I'm trying to beat Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. We made a decision last week that we're going to play just an hour. And my goal is to get as much done in the hour each time. And see how long it takes us to beat it, because Tom challenged me to beat it before he comes back. But if I played normal stream stuff, it would take, I'd probably get it done pretty quickly. But this is a challenge to see how quickly I can beat it. So, yeah, and then, like I said, Thursdays will be the special stream, whether it be Fallout, Final Fantasy VII, or anything else. Yeah, so I'm kind of cheating the challenge a little bit. Not so much. Actually, I'll take that back. I'm actually making it better, because if I played it like two and a half hours every week, I would probably beat it way before Tom's ready to come back and stream. At least if I narrow it down and give myself, I can only go an hour, it'll at least prolong the streams a little bit longer. And if you've watched me play, you know that there is no speedrunning Mario for me. So when I say get done quicker, means like, you know, no going, you know, let me go back and try that level, or let me go do this. It's like, if when I beat a level, I beat a level, and it's done. And we're good. So, we'll do that from here. And looking forward, then I'll have another game after that. And I might just make, you know, yeah. Night Duck in the chat, very, very skeptical, which he has every right to be from knowing me. But, yeah. So, I think I might turn that into a thing that I'll do, even after Tom and Jen come back. Just find an NES or like an 8 or 16-bit game, whether it's Nintendo, Sega, or, you know, anything else, maybe Turbo Graphics or like that, and just see if I can beat the game. Like, we got to make sure it's beatable. Like, we're not playing some really hard-ass game that my mediocre gaming skills would just be a total bore and slog for you guys. But, yeah, so that's update on the streams there. Yeah, like I said, this is, you know, going to be full experiment here. So I have some ideas maybe doing, you know, a little bit more production-wise in terms of, you'll see when we get to the news, maybe having videos playing in the background while I'm talking about the news story rather than just having you see a wall of text. Yes, Game Ball. A little needy today. So yeah, let's get on to the news. So first off, Fallout is, like I said, announcing the next-gen update. It's going to be coming out April 25th. Says the free upgrade for the post-apocalyptic open world. Role-playing game launches April 25th on Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, S as well, I guess. And then it's also going to have some improvements for, you know, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 where the game was originally released. And, you know, fixing stability and quest fixing, just things like that. Updating here. It's a pretty good idea with the TV show coming out. Looks like they're going to do a whole bunch of stuff with the creation, which I've not even dived into yet. So they're going to, you know, some stuff here for Enclave stuff, as you see here. I don't know if my head's blocking it. Yeah, some nice updates there. And then makeshift weapon packs and stuff like that, just to sort of have fun. And then for Jen, here, there's going to be a Halloween workshop. For that, yeah, it was, you know, Fallout 4 released about 9 years ago, so, you know, close to a decade ago, made a whole lot of money. Yeah, I led with this story first, because I wanted to, see if any of you out there have any of you watched the, any of the show yet? I just watched the pilot, prior to the podcast, so first episode here, and it was good. There's, I want to say, and this is, That long sigh and pause is not any criticism or bad, like, that I don't like it coming up. But it was just funny me watching it as someone that has played at least 5 of the Fallout games. I haven't played 76 yet. But, you know, played 1 and 2 a little bit. And then, you know, played the hell out of 3 New Vegas and 4. Probably hundreds of hours in those games. Like, having that information already in my head of what Fallout is was just the first, like, 30 to 40 minutes. That's a good citation needed, Night Duck, there. I guess, yeah, that's right, too. 21.9 support on there for the update as well. I think long-awaited is just, they could have come up with a better word. Maybe I can't think of one right now, but they basically was meaning that it's taken 10 years to do this. Like, why did it take so long? But you line it up with the TV show, you get new people, you put it on sale. I think it's currently on sale. In the Xbox store, at least, and just get some new money flowing in. But, yeah, going back to the show, so the first, like, 30 minutes or 40 minutes follows Lucy, who's the girl on screen right there, and the beginning of her story. But everybody that's played the game knows exactly what's going to happen in that, and it's as good as it's presented. Like, I tried to keep in mind, like, newer viewers that have never played a Fallout game, has no real, you know, idea of the story. And I think they did a good job introducing what all of that is about. And sort of, you'll find out later the horrors, of certain things with Vault. But they hint at it a little bit. There's a little, hint at incest and definitely hint at cousin fucking, in it. So yeah, interesting, what they did there, but yeah. And then once they click over to the other people's stories, and then, you know, sort of, I think this first episode is like one of those that, like, I'm more anticipating the ones coming because, you know, I know all the things. Like, of course, Brotherhood of Steel, you know, they mention the Enclave, and they mention, you know, they have ghouls and super mutants and things like that, and all the things that I already know, and sort of I want to see how they implement it. So first episode really did a good job of setting it up. They even did the vault door opening thing, which every person that's played Fallout knows. So I'd recommend it. I haven't watched it all. I know there's some people I haven't gotten to it that are, complaining about the timeline because it seems to be a very Bethesda-centric, story here where they basically say something happened and it basically negates Fallout New Vegas, or the timeline for Fallout New Vegas, which was made by Obsidian, and was more in line with Fallout 1 and 2 than 3 was. So, yeah. It's pretty interesting to see. I want to see how the reception is to this over The Last of Us. You know, this will probably be more of what they were looking for in terms of violence and post-apocalyptic stuff for some people out there. Our next story, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has a patch. It's fixed a bunch of stuff, but this is the most funny one that it fixed. In the, I won't scroll down much. Spoiler purposes for Tom. So during the final fights, restart if you die on it, on the last segment of it, it came up with like 4 choices, and one was like replay before last battle, replay last battle, replay from checkpoint and then go to menu or something like they normally do there. And it was so confusing which one you're supposed to choose. You're supposed to choose the top one. Thankfully, I did deduction in my brain. I was like, I think it's going to be the top one. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I ended up being correct. So they fixed that to word it. Better for everyone. I'm just afraid to scroll down for Tom's sake. So I don't know exactly what they called it. Bunch of quality of life stuff. You know, previous updates have improved the performance mode so that, you know, it looks better in 60 frames. This one fixes a very important thing that was stopping people from getting the platinum trophy. The platinum trophy thing was basically one of the updates, I forget which one it was, came and one of the games of Golden Saucer wasn't registering that you did the thing you needed to do to complete a part of a quest, and therefore you couldn't get the platinum trophy because you didn't officially finish all side quests. So they patched that out, and now you can get the platinum trophy again, which you could originally do in the beginning, at launch. Yeah, so, yeah, this update seems to be technically fixing things that old updates broke, which is more so a thing that happens on PC. I don't see it happen on console really much. Maybe I just don't see games where that occurs too much, but this feels like more of a Steam update thing. So for those of you out there that have been holding out because you couldn't get the Platinum, well, you can go back in, update it, and go get that Platinum. If I was better at games, I may go for the Platinum, because this game is hella fun, as I said. But it requires being in on hard mode, and I barely beat the final boss on normal, so... But then again, I kind of know the strategy now going in, and it'll just be about, you know, getting better at it. Yeah, so, you know, once again, anybody out there that has holding out for the trophy, you can go ahead and get it. Next up, we have Nintendo Switch Online announced a few more SNES classics to go for your enjoyment if you are into the... 16-bit genre. So they add R-Type, which is one of the games that I used to randomly play at a friend's house. We had no idea really what it was, and just the weird game we played. And they're adding Wrecking Crew, and I believe the other game is Amazing, pronounced Herberkey. It's that top one right at the bottom of the screen there. So yeah, R-Type, definitely thumbs up. I do like that a lot. There. Haven't played the other two. I love the fact on the Nintendo Online for the $3.99 feature, this is what is for, is always adding, you know, games, some games that were exclusive to Japan or the Japanese versions of games, just to play it out a little bit. I mean, we had discussion in the past, you know, that this is for, you know, $4.99 a month. It's just for if you want to play the older games that you're nostalgic, you know, stuff like that. You're not going to get all the great features that a Xbox Live or a PlayStation Plus has. But if you're a parent grown up with games, you know, in the, you know, 80s and 90s, and your kid has a Switch because they like to play all the new stuff on there, it's a cheap investment. It allows them to play Splatoon if they want to play Splatoon because it has online features and you get to play these. So I think it's the best option for, you know, very, very casual parent gamers out there. I've been trying to suggest it to my cousins whose twin boys are, you know, 7, and they're finally getting into, you know, Switch, Xbox and stuff. He pulled out his old consoles. They love playing original Xbox games because they know they don't know any better. So they're there. So I recommend... This is great for you parent gamers out there that really haven't gamed much in a while. It gives you something to play, or maybe even play with your kid that you get and understand. And you're not like me trying to learn Roblox with Denise and finally giving up. But good news, these cousins love Zelda. So they have all my... They have both the new Zeldas. I gave them Link's Awakening. And yeah, we had the BAFTA Awards last night, if any of you really care. I always find it interesting. So they break it down into awards here. I'll just slowly scroll if there's anything to talk about. I do love that Hi-Fi Rush here. I don't know if my mouse is... won Best Animation. That's a pretty good victory there. I'm glad they didn't just go for... I guess Wonder would have been the only one. Because animation, I mean, I guess you could take, like, the realistic look of some of these games, but just the look is great. Yeah, those two Alan Wakes were great. And then best game, Baldur's Gate 3. This is the big thing, reason I want to pull this up. You know, it's been all the news about, you know, Baldur's Gate Larian not doing anything DLC or anything wise with Baldur's Gate 3. They're moving on to a new IP. I'm sure Wizards of the Coast and... you know, all that would want to do something. Because this property is now, I think it's, I forget the exact number. I'll see if it's in the story, I'll scroll. But I believe they're one of the few games to win all 5 major awards that have come out recently. It's got to be within the last 10 years because of Game Awards is included in that. And yeah, CRPG... You know, based off Dungeons and Dragons, it's kind of an amazing feat that I was able to beat out some of these, you know, more developed console things. But Baldur's Gate 3 is amazing. It's the It's the closest that I've played to a game feeling like a D&D campaign. It's not close to it because, you know, besides Scaves coming and stuff like that, there's not that whole, you know, interaction at a table thing. But the where you can make any choice you want in this game, and it kind of remembers that for everything. You know, there's even things that you lose quests, like, way down the line if you, like, kill animals in one section 25 hours, you know. So, best British game goes to Viewfinder. Again, I did really like that demo for that. It's funny that Disney Illusion Island, created by a British studio, gets cast as a British game. I find that kind of fun. Debut game, Venba. Once again, I hear great things about it. Haven't really played it. And then there's our Cyberpunk. And I think, like we said before, Super Mario Wonder, great family game. Other things on this list, Disney's probably the only one that I would have put in there anyway. But Wonder is a terrific game. I apologize if you guys are saying anything with chat. I'll catch up when I come back. Yeah, so multiplayer here, Wonder. Surprised about this, Baldur's Gate 3 with music. But I did enjoy the music there. Narrative, definitely Baldur's Gate. Yeah, so as you can see, the rest of them here. The surprise was basically this leading role thing going to Miles Morales. Here, comparing all the other people that have won awards. You know, Neil Newborn being probably the most known, Game Awards and stuff like that. I do love that the narrator is her, but yeah, I only heard good things about Miles in that game, so kind of surprised there. And then Andrew Wincott is Raphael, was pretty good. I probably may have leaned more. I did really like Sam Lake in Alan Wake. He played a dual role in that game, you know, doing the motion capture for all the Alex Casey stuff, and then also voicing one half of Alex Casey. And then the technical achievement and player's choice going to Baldur's Gate, of course. I do. I have a anti-Roblox crusade and when is Phasmo going to get good bit going with Jen. So can't wait to bring that back when she comes back from. And I agree with you with, it sounds like I replay boys for the article. I definitely, it was the music that brought me into that game. Not the fact that I could have sex with a bear. No, music, 100%. Yeah, so the Baptist, the last awards of the year for games. So get ready to reset for 2024 here. All right, next story. Speaking of things my niece loves, Five Nights at Freddy's 2, the movie, confirmed for fall of 2025. This movie made a stupid amount of money worldwide for being a Five Nights at Freddy's movie. You know, $291.4 million, and this was also put on Peacock as well while it was in theater. So this number is even more amazing when you could watch it at home. And got, you know, well, on a $20 million budget making that number, of course they were going to make a sequel. But yeah. But we got a time frame, like I said, fall 2025, when we'll see that. So the Creature Shop, Jim Henson's already working up the new game there. You know, any movie with Matthew Lillard in, thumbs up. So for any of you out there that is a Five Nights at Freddy's fan, or as my niece and her friends, and probably the younger generation like to call it, FNAF, is getting a second movie here. Yeah, the funny thing is they talk about Five Nights at Freddy's lore, like me and Tom would probably talk about Metal Gear Solid lore or Final Fantasy VII lore. It's kind of funny, and I didn't even know there was like that deep of lore in this, but yeah, apparently there is. It's kind of funny. No, I didn't. I just thought it was like basic stuff, but there was like all this, like, she's like, they're like getting theories and things and what all that. Like, I didn't think it was deeper than the games, but they talked about it like we would talk about those things. Surprised me a little. I might just be getting older and not really into it. Well, I'm not saying I didn't know until she started talking about it. So I've known since about 2 years or so, but, you know, it was funny to me when I found out, because I had just written it off at the time as a, you know, just a jump scare game. And then, you know, hearing them talk about it, like we talk about some of the games that we played growing up, was like an eye opener. It was pretty interesting. I will admit I was wrong about about how popular this game was with the younger generation. Next story here. For those of you to care, EA is increasing the price of a subscription for EA Play. So it's going up $1 monthly, $10 yearly for the regular subscription. And then Play Pro is going up $2 and then $20 annual. So yeah, for those of you that get it, I used to get this or have this so that I could play the sports games first on the PC. But then when I realized that they didn't have hockey, it was just like, I already get the trials on Xbox, you know, through Game Pass. I don't play enough of the newer games or want to keep up that much with the, what's it called, new rosters and stuff to really not, like, I don't need to have it right away. I don't play it online or anything, so I can wait for the end of this to come. So I cut this out. But if you need to play Madden right away or you need to play FIFA right away and you don't want to, and you or you play both and, you know, you like a bunch of other EA games, like Star Wars and stuff like that, or if college football is on here, I might go jump back in. Just to let you know. But yeah, this is great for you. $120 a year is equal to buying both of those games. If you buy them anyway, you're spending that, you pay it, and then you get them, you can download them immediately. And then you get everything else EA has to offer. I think it's a pretty solid deal if you're very into playing EA Sports side. You know, everything seems to be slightly increasing in price, obviously, as things go along here. But yeah, for this is a very specific one. I think the sports adds a dimension to it. Yeah, so yeah, it should be popping up on all that stuff soon. Jedi Survivor. Yeah, it's usually for sports games. It's a full year, so I would imagine for games they don't put on day one. For the Xbox versions, I believe it is a year, roughly. So, should be coming up soon, sometime in the next couple months, for Jedi Survivor. But yeah. But, if you got this, and you play it on PC, you would be able to play it right now. Or when it launched. If you get the Pro version. Yeah. Like I said, we talked about how good of a deal Game Pass is. And Game Pass is the best deal for anyone that just likes to play game. It gives you a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of choices. Especially if you haven't been in the... No, for a while. You can try a whole bunch of different genres, see what you're into nowadays. EA Pro is for if you're just a sports gamer, and then also may dabble in the other things they have in there. Yeah, if you play 3 sports games a year, like if you play FIFA, Madden, and I guess it'd be college football, you know, this is definitely worth it. It's been known that it's now the same price as buying the 2 games instead of being cheaper, which is my thought process when I used to get it. But yeah, he's out there wanting EA. This is the Origin EA app thing on the... and finally, some news here. Whether you want to believe EA or not, which you have two different people that are usually pretty good in the know for news stuff, saying two different stories here, essentially. So let me scroll back up, do the headline. EA shoots down Dead Space 2 remake rumors, no validity to the story. So, if you didn't originally know, Jeff Grubb over at Giant Bomb, said that, EA Motive, who made the Dead Space remake, was considering and had planned out, a Dead Space 2 remake, but that got shut down so they could move over to do Battlefield and other projects. And obviously EA comes out and says, no, this rumor is no good. And you usually go, yeah, of course, EA, you're going to say that. But then Jason Schreier, who is another, you know, at least for me, a trusted news source, sort of backs EA's, statement here. And that Motive really just gave them like a written idea and it didn't really go. So just a matter of fact, if you, hey, Vince, how you doing? So we're wrapping up here. I'll recap all the podcast, the stream stuff for you so you know when we're going to be here for things. Probably going to be streaming through. Schreier here is basically, you know, backing EA. Jeff Grubb, you know, has his sources saying the opposite. Just depending on how much you want to trust EA here. I know Grubb had the story about Microsoft trying to buy some, I forget who it was, and that studio said they never tried to buy us, and then the leaks came out from the lawsuits trying to stop the Activision merger, and it showed that Microsoft was trying to buy those people. So, you know, I tend to lean, you know, grub a little bit in some of these, but yeah, so either way, Dead Space 2 is not happening because Dead Space 1 did not sell enough, according to internal metrics at EA, which sometimes can be out of control, to be honest with you. I think they wanted like 7 million units sold for Dead Space 3 back in the day, which wasn't going to happen. So God knows where they set the remake's price. So we're not going to get Dead Space 2, so whether you want to be mad at EA or boycott the Battlefield game Moda's playing on, I would say, hey, best case scenario is to support Motive, I guess, and keep them alive as a studio so that maybe they can eventually go back to Dead Space 2. That's, I don't know how exactly you would do that, but that's probably the only positive outcome here if you want a Dead Space 2 remake, is to do that. But yeah, that'll do it. I'll do a quick outro here. I forgot for this to record on Audacity's side, so getting this audio may be tricky. I think I know how to do it, but yeah, next time I gotta remember to load up Audacity just to make it easier on myself. All right, so thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next time on the podcast. Bye! All right, so we're still here for you all watching on Twitch. Yeah, so just to let you know, Vince, the updated things is that Saturday, Sunday, one or both nights is still Persona 3. And eventually, I didn't mention this, eventually probably will transition to Eterna Knights after that, if there's not anything else that pops up. Thursdays, we're going to be playing some Cyberpunk 2077, if it works. You know, I got to readjust so that I can have the stream up on the second monitor, since I'll need the full screen down here to play that. We're going to play through as close to the character as I've made for my tabletop game that Night Duck is GMing for Cyberpunk Red, and we'll play through that. Yeah, send me over the mod list. I'm gonna be playing it through. I have it on Epic, so I'll be playing it through there. Yeah, I made one slight change in my character too, which we'll talk about separately, just because I needed him to be a little more of a piece of shit, just so he could fit with Ant and Kevin's characters. Not much of a change, but you know, it's very, very slight, but it allows me to be a little more in their realm, and still sort of be, can step out of it. Now, I don't think either of them used to be a piece of shit. I think they are still pieces of shit. so that's the schedule, we're there. And as I said, the two backups I have for Thursday streams, or we'll just say the third night of streaming, is playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Hard Mode, possibly, what was the thing I had? I could do American Truck Simulator if we have to, because I bought Kansas, so I have the entire map that they currently have out there, so we can burn a couple hours just chit-chatting while I play American Truck Simulator. So that's it here. Thank you guys for joining me. It's been fun. A little under an hour. Maybe if I got some more time, to sort of figure out the nuts and bolts, of this, we can go a little longer with the news segments and the interaction part, but for you guys, thank you again and have a good night. Bye.